For the second time this month, Wisconsinites across the state took to the streets to protest the policies of the Trump administration. It's Monday, April 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the state Supreme Court has upheld a line item veto by Governor Tony Evers, which changed school funding for centuries. And the Milwaukee School Board is considering legal action against paint manufacturers. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
Protests against President Donald Trump and Democratic Party leadership happened in cities across Wisconsin on Saturday. Nick Rommel was at the scene in Milwaukee.
People used highway overpasses in downtown Milwaukee to protest. A lot of them brought homemade signs, like 31-year-old Ren Odita. She put a quote by early 20th century American socialist leader Eugene Debs on hers.
While there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free.
She said it makes her think of people who've been, quote, wrongly deported. There were similar protests in Milwaukee 2 weeks ago. Gerald Leahy went then and now. He says he's lost faith in the Democratic Party.
Any politician that comes forward that tries to capture this energy, I'm skeptical.
Protests happened in Green Bay and Madison, but also in smaller cities like Montello and Beaver Dam. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A small plane crash Saturday in central Illinois killed four people from Menominee, Wisconsin. Two women and two men ranging in age from 36 to 48 were pronounced dead at the scene. Several law enforcement agencies say a single-engine Cessna crashed about a dozen miles from Coles County Memorial Airport in Mattoon, Illinois. The deceased were identified as Ramey Rundle, Courtney Morrow, Ross Nelson, and Michael Morrow. The Federal Aviation Administration and the National Transportation Safety Board are investigating the cause of that crash. The plane was reportedly flying from Nashville to Illinois. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has upheld a budget veto by Governor Tony Evers, which extended a temporary school funding increase by 400 years. Rich Kramer has more.
Evers made national news when he struck digits and a hyphen to extend a temporary per-pupil spending increase through the year 24-25. In a 4-3 decision, the court's liberal majority said the Wisconsin Constitution does not limit the governor's partial veto authority, even when the policy change is considerable. Brenna Gadar is an attorney with UW-Madison's State Democracy Research Initiative. She says Friday's ruling continues the tradition of the Supreme Court blessing governor's veto powers.
This case is really picking up what had been a really long line of cases since the 1900s, allowing the governor to do increasingly creative things with the partial veto power.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the ruling a rubber stamp from the court's liberal majority. Voss says the decision should worry Wisconsinites. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin's Education Department will not sign or submit documents to the Trump administration certifying the elimination of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Corrine Hess has more on State Superintendent Jill Underley's decision.
States have until April 24th to send certification letters to the Department of Education or risk losing $216 million in federal funding. That makes up about 10% of the State Department of Public Instruction's budget. But Underley says school districts are already complying with federal laws, and she's not going to sign recertification documents. She says the federal government shouldn't dictate how schools in Wisconsin educate kids.
We trust our local leaders, superintendents, principals, boards, educators, you know, working closely with families to make the best decisions for their students.
Wisconsin joins 14 other states in this decision. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Milwaukee School Board may take legal action against paint companies. As Evan Casey reports, that's due to the ongoing lead paint crisis within the district.
Lead hazards like chipping paint and lead dust have been found in 7 schools in Milwaukee in recent weeks. At least 4 students have tested positive for lead poisoning. The Milwaukee School Board discussed a resolution in closed session on Thursday that would require the administration to explore legal options. There are 85 schools in the district built before 1978, when lead-based paint was banned. Robert Rabin is a law professor at Stanford. He says this wouldn't be the first time a paint company was sued for lead paint, but
most of the cases have been unsuccessful.
Rabin says it might be unclear what paint company the board should go after. The resolution sponsor declined to comment on the measure. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a story from Wisconsin Life about the hope of spring. Stay with us.
Current and emerging issues with a decidedly Wisconsin point of view.
There are untold stories everywhere.
Be able to take someone else's perspective.
What are your challenges and what are you experiencing?
I like to make one meal for my families at dinner time because I think as busy moms, we have enough to do. We don't need to be short order cooks.
Being able to disagree without being disagreeable. Working with diverse viewpoints.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Sarah Hopeful with a story about connecting with nature as spring emerges.
As winter fades and Wisconsin begins to thaw, the changing season brings renewal, not only to the land, but also to the human spirit. Writer Ron Weber explores how the arrival of spring awakens long-forgotten memories and gives us a chance to rediscover the sense of wonder that often lies dormant within us.
We look forward to it with the anticipation of a child waiting for a midnight visit from Santa. Winter has been long, and though we may have enjoyed all the sledding, skating, ice fishing, and snowmobiling, we are more than ready for its coming. As the snow and ice recede under a sun whose zenith climbs minutely higher with each passing day, we ready ourselves for the season of rebirth. Spring comes with many sights, sounds, and scents, emerging on a once frozen landscape, awakening feelings and memories, some of which we may have thought long forgotten. For me, the first true sign of spring is the sound of water on the move, whether it be dripping off the big maple in our front yard, flowing down our driveway, or rushing through the stream out back towards Soft Maple Creek, the Chippewa River, and eventually the sea. That sound can be heard both day and night now, though I especially enjoy the soft music it makes at night while the rest of the world is asleep, out there in the darkness, mysterious, beckoning. This is not the mere tinkling of water, as Aldo Leopold noted in his January thaw, that awoke a skunk and summoned him out of his den for an evening of gallivanting across the countryside. This sound has an urgency to it, a purpose, a permanence. There is no stopping it or going back. Spring is coming now. A cold night or snowy day, simply an inconvenience. In an instant, I am 10 years old again, following a stick I had thrown in the ditch, swollen with snowmelt or rain, now carrying both the stick and me downstream. Nearing a culvert, I am amazed by the sight of a small whirlpool, which spins the stick crazily and sucks it out of sight and into the culvert. Running to the other side of the driveway, I silently wish that the hand of fate allows the stick safe passage. Sometimes the stick never emerges, but this time it does, and the chase continues. In-stream obstructions slow the progress here and there, but eventually we are moving again. Usually a hungry culvert ultimately ends the journey, though once or twice we made it all the way to the larger creek, a quarter mile or so from my house. Those journeys with the sticks led to all sorts of discoveries and high adventure. An empty beer can in the ditch was fished out and upon inspection revealed a crayfish which had crawled inside. This inspired me to check other cans and eventually to enlarge the hole in the can just slightly to make it so inviting to more and larger crayfish. One year, a particularly heavy snowmelt and subsequent rains flooded a field and section of the woods behind our house. We first waded into this ephemeral wonder, but soon figured out the most adventurous way to explore it would be by canoe. And so, for the first and only time, we were sailors on the high seas. Expertly guiding our craft through the perilous trees and bushes we heretofore ran through. The snow will eventually melt, the rains will come, and water will again start its journey across the land. Ditches and creeks will swell, carrying their precious cargo seaward. Here is hoping that the young and young at heart still take the time to throw a stick into the flowing water and chase after it. Those lucky enough to do just that may get an education of sorts and find that not only does it fill their day, but their memory as well.
Ron Weber is a writer who lives in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
And of course, got to get a quick check of weather in before letting you go for this Monday. Cloudy and windy across the entire state today. Rain will be ending this morning, but it's still going to be cloudy and windy for the rest of the day with highs in the 40s and 50s. Still cloudy overnight, but it'll stay dry with lows down into the 30s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.